greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. The scandal in Great Britain is still unfolding on a daily basis. And many people have been asking the question, what is actually wrong with the entire political concept, the system in Great Britain? And some have also asked the same question pertaining to the United States of America and other countries, such as Canada, Australia, New Zealand. How did we get to this point where people are already talking about Britain's Watergate? What actually happened? And more importantly, as I will show you in the second half of this program, why did we reach that point? Because, my friends, the Bible has a lot to say about the current events, something which we don't hear too much about these days. Not too many speak in terms of what God, the God of the Bible, has to say about what is happening and why. But first, let me turn you back and lead you back a little bit to what has happened during the last several days. Here's an article by Deutsche Welle, dated July 8, having this to say. The former editor of the News of the World and former aide to Prime Minister David Cameron has been arrested in London over phone hacking allegations. Coulson has close links to Prime Minister David Cameron and was a key figure in last year's Conservative election campaign. Coulson was forced to quit as Cameron's communications chief in January after the phone hacking allegations resurfaced. Cameron has come under fire for hiring Coulson shortly after he resigned as News of the World editor in 2007. In a further twist, British police on Friday re-arrested the paper's former royal editor, Clive Goodman, over allegations of corruption. Goodman was jailed for 4 months in 2007 for hacking into phone messages from the royal household. This article goes on to say that Cameron is also friends with Rebecca Brooks, Coulson's predecessor as editor of the popular Sunday paper. She is now chief executive of News International and a close confidant of Rupert Murdoch, the Australian-born media tycoon. Now, in the meantime, Rebecca Brooks has resigned. This article goes on to say that Murdoch's media empire spans the globe and includes Fox Television and the Wall Street Journal in the United States, along with major broadcasting operations in Australia and Asia. Murdoch also owns News International, which operates The Sun, The Times, and The Sunday Times. No wonder this world is in arms, not only in Great Britain, but also in Australia, in Asia, and of course in the United States of America, wondering, did some of these things which happened in Great Britain also happen in their countries? This article goes on to say that on Thursday, News Corp announced that Sunday's edition of the News of the World would be the last. It is the best-selling Sunday newspaper in the country, selling some 2.7 million copies a week, and has been published for 168 years. And yes, they stopped circulation as it was announced. The News of the World has been at the center of phone hacking claims for several years, but nothing, you see, has happened to stop this scandal. Everybody seemed to be looking at the other side. It goes on to say, the targets included the royal family, celebrities, politicians. But it was the allegations that journalists hacked into the cell phones of victims of crime, terror attacks, and the relatives of British soldiers killed in Iraq and Afghanistan that sparked a public outcry, alienating readers and advertisers. So it had to come to that before suddenly and finally, I should say, the public woke up to that corruption which was going on in Great Britain. Now here's an article by BBC, dated July 11. The Sunday Times is alleged to have targeted the personal information of the former Prime Minister Gordon Brown at the time he was Chancellor. He goes on to say that blagging or knowingly or recklessly obtaining or disclosing personal data or information without the consent of the data controller has been illegal since 1998. A blagger alleged to be acting for the Sunday Times posed as Brown and obtained details of his Abai National account in January 2000. The Abai National said to Mr. Brown's lawyer it was a well-orchestrated scheme of deception. Notice this article by the London Evening Standard, dated July 11. Personal details about the Queen and her closest aides were sold to the news of the world by corrupt royal protection officers. The information included phone numbers and trips about the movements and activities of the Queen, Prince Philip, and staff in a serious breach of national security. No wonder we are talking about Britain's Watergate. Die Welt, the German paper Die Welt, actually coined this phrase, and they said that Mr. Cameron is in deep political trouble, fighting for his political survival. The Associated Press reported on July 12th that the cozy relationship that Rupert Murdoch long enjoyed with the British power structure came to an abrupt end on Tuesday, just as he needed it to complete one of his biggest media buys ever. The billionaire suddenly faces stiff government opposition to his bid for total control of a much more lucrative property, the satellite British Sky Broadcasting Company. The news came in a stunning announcement from Prime Minister David Cameron's office that the government will support a motion calling on Murdoch and his news corporation to withdraw the $12 billion bid for BSkyB. Cameron's turnabout means the Australian-born Murdoch, who held great influence in British politics no matter who ran the government, suddenly finds all three major political parties lined up against him. I wonder why. See, they all are fighting for their political survival because the outrage of the British people against this incredible cover-up has reached a point where they cannot ignore it any longer. The New York Times wrote on July 13, in a stunning reversal after days of building scandal surrounding its British newspaper operations, Rupert Murdoch's news corporation announced on Wednesday that it was withdrawing a $12 billion bid to take over the shares it does not already own in Britain's main satellite television broadcaster. The scandal has also convulsed the British politicians, press, and police. Given Mr. Murdoch's erstwhile towering influence in British public life, the scandal has also cast unusually sharp light into a world of cozy relationships between political and corporate leaders and senior police officers. And then the article goes on to say that Mr. Cameron fights to recover the initiative in a scandal that has turned into potentially the most damaging crisis of his time in office, partly because of his own close relationship with senior figures in Mr. Murdoch's British subsidiary. The German reaction is one of absolute biting condemnation. I'd like to read to you from an article by Der Spiegel Online, dated July 14, saying that German papers on Thursday write that the situation reveals grave problems within Britain's democratic system. And then they quote the conservative paper Die Welt, saying, there is more rotten in the state of Great Britain than is dreamt of in our philosophy. And more than just in the media, whose corruption has sunk to an all-time low through the revelations about the Sunday scandal paper News of the World. But this is about more than that. The complicity of some Scotland Yard officials with the surveillance methods of the Murdoch Empire are also damaging trust in the country's law enforcement. It is a nation under shock. Too much institutional erosion was simply ignored. And the paper Die Tageszeitung went even five steps further and said this. The News of the World case has shown the British public that their democracy is a farce. With power-hungry politicians who bow to the most loathsome tabloids and money-grabbing police who hide the crimes of these papers. The investigations that Prime Minister Cameron has called for make sense only when they include all sides and lead to consequences. Most of the investigations to date give no cause for optimism. That's the status quo as I speak today on Friday, but I can guarantee you that other developments are still forthcoming. They're bound to. And what we are finding, my friends, is that the whole political system, whether it's Great Britain, whether it's the United States, whether it's Australia, Canada, New Zealand, whatever English-speaking country you might want to talk about, is rotten. As one paper said, it's just rotten. My friends, if you have listened to us, if you have read our literature, you know that for decades we have told you that Great Britain and the United States of America are actually the modern descendants of the ancient house of Israel, not to be confused with the house of Judah, the Jews. See, the house of Israel had nothing to do with the Jews, never were Jews. But the house of Israel, going back to the patriarch Jacob or Israel, had a son with the name of Joseph. And Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And archaeological and historical and biblical evidence has shown that today we can find the modern descendants of Ephraim in Great Britain. And the modern descendants of Manasseh you can find mainly in the United States of America. Now, I don't have time on this program to go into that, but if you're interested, please read our free booklet, The Fall and Rise of Britain and America, because this booklet will tell you and give you the facts as to why we can dogmatically state these things. But today, I'd like to turn to the Bible. I'd like to turn to the book of Hosea, and I'd like to read to you what is prophesied about the future of Ephraim, Great Britain, if you please, and also describing events as they are taking place right now, as we speak. To begin with, let's read from Hosea chapter 1 and verse 2 and listen to the words of God. He says, "The land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord." Now, we can call Great Britain a Christian nation. We can call the United States of America a Christian nation. But God says, you are not worshiping me. You are worshiping a false theology, a false concept. You have departed from me, theoretically and most certainly practically in how you live. He goes on to say in chapter 2 and in verse 8, "For she did not know that I gave her grain, new wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal." You see, Baal, the sun god, that ancient sun god who was worshipped on Sunday. His main holidays were Christmas and Easter. Christmas and Easter and Sunday have nothing to do with the true worship of God, if we follow the Bible. The Bible commands you to keep the weekly Sabbaths, the time from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. It is Sunday, the day dedicated to the sun god Baal, which most quote-unquote Christians worship today on, in direct violation to what the Bible has to say. This statement here in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 13 goes on to say, "I will punish her for the days of the Baals to which they burned incense." Yes, we are burning a lot of incense in our churches today, on Sunday. They are not burned in honor of the true God at all. He says, "She decked herself with her earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot," says the Lord. In chapter 4 in the book of Hosea, let's read verse 1. "For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land," Great Britain we are talking about. "There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land, but swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed." How can deny, when we think in terms of the abortions which are going on, when we think in terms of the wars which are going on, when we think in terms of the lying which is going on, adultery which is going on, that these statements aren't true and accurate and relevant for us today? He goes on to say in verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you from being priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God." The Ten Commandments, who keeps them today? They say, oh, but the Sabbath is no longer enforceable. It was replaced by Sunday. Where do you find that in Scripture? Nowhere. They have forgotten the law of God. God says about the British people and the Church of England is being addressed here directly, because they are worshiping God on Sunday and have forsaken the law of God, which requires of true Christians to worship Him on the Sabbath, on Saturday. It goes on to say in chapter 5 and verse 4, "They do not direct their deeds towards turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. Verse 11, Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by human precept. It sounds good, humanly speaking, to worship God on Sunday, let's say. Why should we keep the Sabbath? It makes no human sense, but it makes a lot of sense in the eyes of God. Because the Sabbath is a day which was sanctified and made holy at the time when God created man. Christ said that the Sabbath was made for man and that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. You have heard that Christ is the Lord of Sunday? No way! Nothing in the Bible says that. It goes on to say in chapter 7, in verse 8, Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Aliens have devoured his strength. There are lots of aliens in Great Britain today, those who do not even believe in the Christian God, not even say they believe in the Christian God. He goes on to say he doesn't know it. Yes, gray hairs are here and there on him. Yes, he doesn't know it. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face. See, they don't want to admit it. They are still proud of their British, of their American way of life. However, God says, I do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him in all of this. In all the troubles we are having today in Great Britain and the United States of America, all over the world for that matter, are we turning to God, the true God of the Bible? Or do we continue having this kind of futile worship when Christ says, in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men and doing away with the laws and commandments of God? In chapter 8 it says in verse 7, they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Verse 12, I have written for him the great things of my law, but they were considered a strange thing. Yes, how strange it is today to tell the people you have to keep the Sabbath. You can't commit adultery. You can't live in fornication, premarital sexual relationships, or let's say in homosexuality for that matter. How strange it is to say you can't go to war to kill other people. You can't have abortion, and on the list goes. It's very strange in the eyes of men. And God says, yes, my law is looked upon by you as a strange thing. Verse 14, Israel has forgotten his maker. Let's turn to chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, they are deeply corrupted. He, God, will remember their iniquity and he will punish their sins. Chapter 10, verse 13, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way. Chapter 11 and verse 7, my people are bent on backsliding from me, though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. Well, in other words, they may say, oh, I believe in God, but then by their acts they deny him, God is saying. And in verse 12 of chapter 11, Ephraim has encircled me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. And also chapter 13 and verse 6, they were filled, and their heart was exalted, therefore they forgot me. But God, in the last chapter of that book, of that very relevant book for us today, talking about the immediate future as well, he is making a plea to you. And I like to make that same plea to you, my listeners. Hopefully your minds are open enough to understand what is being said in here, in chapter 14, in verse 1. O Israel! Let me say, O Great Britain, O United States of America, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. What's iniquity? What's lawlessness? It is a transgression of the law. Sin is a transgression of the law. Every time you forsake the Sabbath, every time, for instance, you don't keep the Sabbath, you are breaking God's law, and you are sinning. And the wages of sin is death. He says, receive us graciously. And then it goes on to say in the very last verse of the very last chapter of that book in verse 9, who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. Are you prudent? Are you wise? Are you righteous? And righteousness is defined as all of God's commandments? Then walk in them. Ask God to forgive you for your sins. Take away your iniquity. And God will. And God will bless you. Most people today are not willing to do that. That is why we have the problems. That is why we have the kind of corruption we are having right now in Great Britain and in other parts of the world. God says, don't be surprised. I have turned my back on you because you have turned your back on me. But there's time for you to repent, to come back to me. But you have to do it in righteousness. I pray, my friends, that you belong to those who will. Thanks very much for watching. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.